the sum of our hearts before Almighty Yahweh, Son of Grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this day, thanking and praising your name, Father, for the opportunity to look into your word. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that your word would correct us, and that you would grant us more of your Holy Spirit, Father, as we study your word. Truly, Father, we know that we are in the last days, and that we're seeking to be your 144,000 as we try to overcome this world and the sins of it. Father, hear the prayers of your saints as we call on you to preserve us, to enlighten us, to raise us up, Father, to be the Bickering, the first fruits of the earth. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the great sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, who was truly the first of the first fruits. We ask, Father, that we would walk in his footsteps, that we would have the compassion of Yahshua and the forgiveness of those who have sinned against us. Help us, Father, that you would not condemn us because of our sins and shortcomings, but because of the blood of the Lamb, Yahshua the Messiah, you would give us the opportunity to overcome this world and to be more like Yahshua. We thank and praise your holy name, Father, and ask that you bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And Father, we know that each and every one that has a petition before you needs to get to know you better, Father. And we pray that they would be revealed. They would have Yahshua revealed to them so that they would understand that it's by his stripes that we're healed. And it's by his sacrifice that we have an opportunity in life everlasting. And we thank you again, Father, for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. And for this ministry, Father, we ask that you would bless it and cause it to grow, and that you would strengthen each and every one of us that are participating, and that we would grow in your grace and knowledge to be an overcomer and one of your 144,000 as we seek to be in your kingdom. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
May all be stated. I've entitled this Bible study, Friends of Yahweh. And for the opening scripture, I'd like you to turn over to Psalm 25. We'll read the chapter in its entirety. That's Psalm 25. To you, O Yahweh, I lift up my soul. O my Elohim, in you have I trusted. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. We were speaking earlier, me and Trent, as well as some of the other men here, about the world and how they do not trust in Yahweh. They trust in themselves. And when you trust in yourself, you're going to fall, because you cannot overcome. We were talking about some of the survivalists and some of these people who have all these guns and this ammunition stocked up, like they can, you know, shoot the whole world. They can defeat everyone, but they can't. They can only run out of bullets, you know, and they're going to be overwhelmed. If they live by the sword, they're going to die by the sword. But we have to trust in Yahweh. And if we trust in him, we're going to receive a blessing. As it says in verse 2 there, let me not be put to shame, and let not my enemies triumph over me. Yes, none that wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be put to shame that deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the Elohim of my salvation. For you do I wait all the day. Remember, O Yahweh, your tender mercy and your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. And truly, Yahweh has shown his loving kindness to his people from the day, even from the beginning, but even from the days when he brought Israel out of Egypt. Remember not the sins of my youth, and we know, nor my transgressions. We know what we did when we were kids. You know, they talk about sowing your wild oats, but we all sinned against Yahweh. None of us lived the perfect life. See? The key is understanding, recognizing the sins that you've committed, and then asking Yahweh to forgive you. It's to that point, when you realize that you are a sinner, and you want to get to that point where you are a saint, you have to go through that process, that repentance process, the redemption process, and receive the gift of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And you only get that at that point when you receive baptism in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. It's a process, and we have to go through that process to make ourselves friends of Yahweh. See? And the friends of Yahweh keep the commandments. And he won't remember the sins of our youth. He will forgive us because we've accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. It says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my sins, my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Yahweh. And that's what we want to do it for. Yahweh's sake, his goodness, because he's the only one that's good. All the others are sinful. Good and upright is Yahweh. Therefore will he instruct sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in justice. And the meek will he teach his way. Moses was the meekest man on the earth, as it says in Numbers 12. And the meek shall inherit the earth. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming to this earth. All the paths of Yahweh are loving kindness and truth for such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For your name's sake, O Yahweh, pardon my sin, my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears Yahweh? Him shall he instruct in the way that he shall choose. So Yahweh is going to instruct those that he has pulled out of the world, those that have repented. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the land, the earth, Ha'aretz, the Hebrew. The friendship of Yahweh is with them that fear him. See, if we're friends of Yahweh, we fear him. We keep his covenant. We show him that we love him by being faithful in keeping his law. And he will show them his covenant. He reveals that covenant to those who are his friends. My eyes are ever toward Yahweh, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my travail, and forgive all my sins. And that's what we want Yahweh to do. We want him to forgive all our sins. Remember the scripture says the righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. See? We can't concentrate on the sinning and the falling, but we got to concentrate on the rising. Because we have to continually ask for forgiveness. And he'll grant it to us. See, because none of us are perfect. But we have to become perfect. And I'm going to show you the difference when I say that. Because all men are sinners. But Yahweh wants the perfect people. My eyes are ever toward Yahweh, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. He's going to deliver his people regardless of what we're going through, as long as we're friends of his and we're trying our best to keep his covenant. Drop in the verse 19. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O Elohim, out of all his trouble. And you know that as long as we're in this life, we're going to have trouble. Okay? We may not all have the same trouble, but we're all going to have trouble. But what makes the 144,000 different is that they fear Yahweh, and they are friends of him. And Yahweh looks out for each and every one of his friends. Turn to Job chapter 29. Job was a friend of Yahweh. Job 29. We'll start in verse 1. And Job again took up his parable and said, oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when Eloah watched over me, when his lamp shined upon my head. And by his light I walked through darkness. Through the light of Yahweh that we can get through this life. As I was in the ripeness of my days, when the friendship of Eloah was upon my tent. When the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were about me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured me out streams of oil. In other words, Yahweh provided for Job. He was blessed. When I went forth to the gate to the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, he was a judge. The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged rose up and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue clung to the roof of their mouth. For when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, the fatherless also, that had no one to help him. Job remembered the third time. He did what he was supposed to do. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. So he looked out for the father and the widow. Job did the commandments. He kept Yahweh's covenant. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was a robe, as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the needy. and the cause of him that I knew not, I searched out. And I broke the jaws of the unrighteous and plucked the prey out of his teeth. He saved those that were being taken advantage of. Then I said, I shall die in my net, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the water, and the dew lies all night upon my branch, like Psalm 1. You know, the trees that are by the water, they receive nourishment. And Job received the nourishment from Almighty Yahweh. My glory is fresh in me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. To me men gave ear and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they spoke not again, and my speech distilled upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain. And you know what the rain does. It nourishes the earth. They opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat as chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforts the mourner. So Job had a position. And he blessed the people by being a righteous judge. See? But he was a friend of Yahweh. As it says in verse 4, when the friendship of Eloah, of Elohim, Eloah, singular form, was upon my tent. We know that Yahweh said Job was a righteous man. In Job chapter 2, when Satan presented himself, in verse 3 it says, and Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears Elohim and turns away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. And this is after Job had lost his wealth, his family. He was still a man of integrity in the eyes of Yahweh. Psalm 94. Psalm 94. It starts in verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you correct, O Yah, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, for judgment shall return to righteousness. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Yahweh has been my help, my soul has seen wealth in silence. When I said, my soul slipped, your loving kindness, O Yahweh, held me up. And the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comfort, your light, my soul. Shall the throne of wickedness have partnership with you? The answer is no. Which frames mischief by statute. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But Yahweh has been my high tower. Elohim, the rock of my refuge. And he has brought upon them their own iniquity and will cut them off in their own wickedness. Yahweh, our Elohim, will cut them off. And we don't have to depend on guns, ourselves, Yahweh is going to cut them off. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh will deliver the 144,000 out of them all. In Psalm 34, we read that passage, verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. We have to trust in Yahweh as friends of His, because He is going to truly watch over us. Psalm 33, verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither does he deliver any by great power. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death. And that's what we want. We want Yahweh to be there for us when we are encountered with death, and to keep them alive in famine. And there's going to be a severe famine over that 3.5 years at the end. And we want Yahweh to deliver us from famine. Our souls have waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. So when people tell you the name of Yahweh, you know, it's just like any other, we know better. We know different. We have to teach them and show them so that they would know better and see that there's a difference. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Psalm 34, we're going to read Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless Yahweh at all times. This is the Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines, who drove him away, and he departed because David acted like he was crazy. And that saved his life. You know, because this is the David that they had heard about, that had done all these great things, that had defeated the Philistines. But after Saul had chased him, and he had gone away, and he was living among the Philistines, Abimelech, is this David? You know, the one that has done all this damage to us? You know, and David acted like he was crazy. So, you know, Abimelech, he's a madman. We have enough madmen. Send him away, you know. We're not going to deal with this. But if David would have acted like he was in his right mind, of course, Abimelech would have wanted to kill him. But in verse 1, it says, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what we have to do, brother. We have to bless Yahweh at all times, because He's the one that's going to give us the victory over famine, over death, and over our enemies. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The meek shall hear of it and be glad. They're going to have a different attitude than the rest of the world because they're meek, and they're speaking Yahweh. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought Yahweh, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Can we say that, brother? That we sought Yahweh and He delivered us from all our fears? See, when we trust in Yahweh and understand that He is a friend of those who fear Him, He's going to bless us. We don't have anything to fear, because Yahweh is our mighty one. He's the one that's going to deliver us. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints. And those, the saints of Yahweh, is another term for the 144,000. But there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. See what I said yesterday in Psalm 19 about they desire Yahweh more than gold, more than any of the wealth of the world. We desire Yahweh and to be with him. But they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. He'll give us the desires of our hearts, brother. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from seeking God. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He hears our prayers, brother. You know, it talks about the prayers of the saints are his incense. We'll see later. Yahweh hears our prayers. He hears the ears, his ears are open to their cry. The face of Yahweh is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and Yahweh heard, and delivered them out of all their troubles. It didn't say some. It doesn't say some of their troubles. It says all. See, if we're faithful, and the 144,000 are, they're going to be delivered out of all their troubles. Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall kill the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. Yahweh redeems the soul of his servant, and none of them that take refuge in him shall be condemned. None. None. Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times. And we are friends of Yahweh. We keep his commandments because that's what love is. We fear him. Not because of the judgment. We fear him with a righteous fear because we love him. And a brother is born of adversity. First Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 1. It says, finally then, brethren, we entreat and exhort you in the Master Yahshua, that as you receive from us how you ought to walk, and to please Elohim, even as you do walk. So there's a certain way that we're supposed to carry ourselves in the world. There's a certain way that we're supposed to walk. That you abound more and more, for you know what charge we gave you through the Savior Yahshua. For this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification. And sanctification is being set apart for a holy purpose. We are, you know, we aren't living for ourselves. We were bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. So we, as friends of Yahweh, are set apart. And these 144,000 saints of Yahweh have been set apart for a holy purpose. That you abstain from fornication. And we're not just talking physical fornication, brethren, which is a sin. We're talking spiritual fornication. We're talking idolatry. We're not supposed to go in and follow the mighty ones of this world, the idol. That you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not Yahweh. They act like animals. Okay? That no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter. Because Yahweh is an avenger in all these things, as also we previously warned you and testified. For Yahweh called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Like I said, that word sanctification means set apart for a holy purpose. Therefore, he that rejects not man, but Elohim, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, we've received the Holy Spirit at baptism. That Holy Spirit is supposed to grow in each and every one of us to the day when Yahshua returns. That it builds us up so that we can deal with the things that are coming upon this earth. See, if someone comes to you and offends you, they slap you in the face. They're supposed to turn the other cheek. You understand? That's the practical application of you showing that you have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. See? We're not supposed to turn on them with wrath. That's the way you live before you receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit. You understand? We're supposed to be like Yahshua. When they did what they did to Yahshua, what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He asked Yahweh to forgive them. Do we ask Yahweh to forgive the people that sin against us? Or are we plotting ways to get back at them? You know, think about how we react to these things that happen to us in this life. People take advantage of us. But you know what? When you have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, and that we have, we understand that they don't know. So therefore, we have to show them that they don't know by forgiving them. Satan wants us to react in the negative. He wants us to fight. He wants us to come back at that person with something negative because that's what they gave up. But that's not sanctification. That's not the way Yahweh people, the friends of Yahweh, they act. See, there's a difference. There's a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. And Yahweh's looking for people who are showing that they have the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, it says, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught by Yahweh to love one another. For indeed you do it toward all the brethren that are in all Macedonia, or I could say California, or Georgia, or Mobile, or New Orleans. or Pennsylvania. But we exhort you, brethren, that you should abound more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are outside. Talk about those outside the faith, and may have need of nothing. So Yahweh is going to bless the people who are faithful because they are friends of Yahweh. There's 144,000. They are willing to overcome this life and Satan the devil. The Bible teaches us to resist Satan. He will flee far from us. But too often, we don't resist. See? We want to fight back when something happens, when Satan provokes. And that's what he does. He provokes to see what kind of reaction he's going to get out. Like he came to Yahweh when the sons of Elohim came, the 144,000 come to the sea. They come before Yahweh. Satan shows up and says, what about your servant Winston? What about him? What if I attack Winston? He's gonna curse you. Okay? But no. Winston didn't curse Almighty Yahweh. He gave Yahweh glory. Yahweh healed him completely. He healed him. You understand? When Satan attacks, and he's going to continue to attack, we have to be ready as friends of Yahweh and give glory to Yahweh, because Yahweh is the one that's going to give us that victory. You understand? Even if he allows Satan to take our lives. But sometimes he might do that just to see how the rest of you react. You understand? And it did happen in this. It's my cousin Tyrone. It happened. And you see, Mike the Shepherd. This is the president of YPCC. What happened? People went in all different directions. Most didn't stand firm. But I'm going to tell you today, the friends of Yahweh, 144,000 are going to overcome whatever Satan throws at, because we love Yahweh. Now, Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Talks about the beast. Verse 4, it says, and they worshiped the dragon. We know that that dragon from chapter 12 of Revelation talks about Satan the devil. They worshiped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Okay? And to overcome them. And there was given to him authority out of every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. If any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Like I said, that's what I was talking to a friend about earlier. you know, those that believe, you know, I got my guns and I'm going to protect my food and my family, you know, when they come after me, you only have so many bullets, you know. You only have so many. And you're going to die the way that you don't put out. So if we trust in Yahweh, and Yahweh's the one that we are friends with, he's going to give us the victory. He's going to help us overcome this period of time. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he that had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he does great signs that he could even make fire come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by reason of the sign. So they're deceived, those that dwell on the earth, because they see fire come down from heaven. You know what? The servants of Yahweh have the ability to call down fire from heaven. They can do the same thing. They, just like Pharaoh did when Moses threw his staff down and it became a serpent. Pharaoh had his magicians do the same with their staff. But see, Moses' staff ate up them, dominated. Just like we will dominate those of the beast. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs which it was given to him to do in the sight the signs which it was given to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast who has the stroke of the sword and lives. And it was given to him to give breath to it, even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So those that hold on to their integrity and say, well, I'm not worshiping an image of the beast, because that's idolatry. That's contrary to the law of Yahweh, that they should be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, that there be given to them a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 600. 66. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. And another, a second angel followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, that has made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a great voice, if any man worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented, the word is basano, it means judge, with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. Those that have received or will receive the mark of the beast will be judged. That word torment is dishonor. They're going to receive judgment, and they're going to be destroyed. Do we fear Yahweh? As friends of Yahweh, we fear him. So therefore, we will not receive or participate in the mark of the beast. Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 1. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth, or on the sea, or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, do not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their forehead. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 9 of the same passage. Verse 9, it says, after these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation, of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a great voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing all around the throne and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, these that are arrayed in the white robes, who are they and where are they from? And I say to him, my master, you know. And he said to me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of Yahweh and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the middle of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the fountains of waters of life. And Yahweh shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now this is after the 1,000-year millennium. These are not a part of the 144,000. Okay? These are separate. They died in the tribulation, but these washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They accepted Yahshua, but they were not part of that first resurrection. These came after the white throne judgment. See, this is a vision that John had, and he's telling not only about the 144,000, but he's talking about these, out of every nation, out of all the tribes and peoples and tongues. Okay? They were judged, worthy to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. This is like when we get to the last great day. This is eternity. This is after Satan is destroyed. Okay? But Satan is let loose after 1,000 years so that he can influence those that the 144,000 have taught for 1,000 years. They've been taught of God. They've had access to no evil. They've had access to the Yahshua the Messiah. First Thessalonians. Going back over to First Thessalonians. Chapter 4 again. We'll start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also that have fallen asleep, and Yahshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of Yahweh, that we that are alive, that are left to the coming of Yahshua, shall in no wise precede them that have fallen asleep. For Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in the Messiah shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahshua. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Okay? This is talking about the 144,000. There's a difference between the one group and the other, the first group and the rest. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. And after this, he must be loosed for a little time. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, and as such as did not worship the beast, neither his image, and did not receive the mark upon their forehead and upon their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years should be finished." See, there's a separation here. I want you to see that. You have those that are of the 144,000 that are resurrected, that have been dead. And then you have the other dead that aren't going to be resurrected until after or at the white throne judgment. And I'm trying to show you the separation. As it says, the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. And all those that are going to rise to meet Yahshua in the air did not die. There are some who are alive on the earth that made it through, who were hid during that 3.5-year tribulation. Two of the first of the 144,000 are going to be the two witnesses. that I was prophesying for 3.5 years during that time in Jerusalem. Okay? They're going to be killed at the end of their prophecy and laid in the streets in Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And then Yahweh calls them up. I call them, come up here. They rise to meet Yahshua. It says in verse 6, after the first resurrection, it says, over these, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Messiah and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's the 144,000. Jacob chapter 2. With James, depends on the version you have. Jacob chapter 2. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but has no work? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you give them not the things necessary to the body. What does it profit? Nothing. Even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. But demons believe also and tremble. But will you not obey man that faith apart from works is barren? For those demons aren't serving Yah. But they believe and they tremble. They fear. But they don't serve him. See, they've chosen the wrong one to follow. They're following Satan the devil. Obey man that faith apart from works is barren. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. Abraham was a friend of Yahweh because he was a righteous individual. Because he trusted Yahweh. He believed in Yahweh. You see that by works a man is justified and not only by faith. And too often the Christians lose that. They miss that part. And the scriptures teach that. Constantly. When you look in the book of Revelation, it talks about those works that are there. No, your works won't save you. But it says here that faith apart from work. You have to have them both. You have to put them together so that you can see the big picture. And in like manner, was not Rahab the harlot justified by work, in that she received the messengers, the spies, they came to spy out the Holy Land and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. We must show our faith, brethren, by what we do. James 4:1. From where come wars and from where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even from your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. you adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? It's an enemy. Whoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. But we are friends of Yahweh. Or do you think that the scripture speaks in vain? Does the spirit which he made to dwell in us long to envy? No. But he gives more grace. Therefore the scripture says, Yahweh resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore be subject to Yahweh, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. And we don't want to be destroyed, brethren. But who are you who judges your neighbor? The friends of Yahweh do not judge their neighbor. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And the voice I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song except the 144,000. Even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, pagan worship, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Revelation chapter 5. Verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book, to open the seals of it. For you were killed and did purchase to Yahweh with your blood of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be to our Elohim a kingdom of priests, and they reign upon the earth. They reign upon the earth. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it. That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it remain in the vine, so so neither can you except you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that remains in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man remain not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain you in my love. If you love, if you keep my commandments, you shall remain in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. And for us to be a friend of Joshua, we have to be friends of the hour in keeping the covenant. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knows not what his master does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know Yah. They're not a friend of Yah. They're a friend of the world, which means they cater and worship Satan the devil. The friends of Yahweh are different. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And that's why we read Psalm 34 about Yahweh delivering you out of all your troubles. See? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh is going to deliver you out of them all. Because they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. They would not have known that they were sinners. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the work which none other did, they had not known sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. That's from Psalm 35:19. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, the Holy Spirit, which I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall bear witness of me, and you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning, because we're friends of the hour. And we recognize Yahshua the Messiah. The world doesn't recognize Yahshua the Messiah. They give lip service. No, they worship Zeus. They worship God. They worship all of the other pagan mighty ones, Moloch, Vishnu, all of the different mighty ones of the world. But they don't recognize Yahshua the Messiah. I've tried to do that and when I was in Atlanta witnessing to some Christian born again. Oh no, JC is okay with me. I'm telling them, there's one name under heaven by which men shall be saved. One name. It's not Jesus. See? The name is Joshua. And if you're a friend of Yahweh, not only are you going to keep that name, you're going to fear Yahweh, and you're going to keep His commandments. You're going to do the things that Yahweh has given us through Yahshua the Messiah to do in these last days. Our closing passage, turn to Revelation chapter 3. This is a familiar passage to all of us. Revelation 3, we'll read verses 7 to 13. And to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no one shall shut, and that shuts and none opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which none can shut. But you have a little power, and did keep my word, and did not deny my name. See, so that name is so important that the people of this world have to understand that if they don't call on the name of Yahshua or on the name of Yahweh, because he says, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Yahshua won't return, and so the people are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, which means they have to learn Yahweh's name. They also have to become a friend of Yahweh to be a part of the 144,000. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are worshipers of Yahweh, and they are not, but do lie. Because even the physical Jews do not worship Yahweh. You understand? They worship the pagan mighty one. They don't worship Yahweh. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you did keep the word of my patience. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, that 3.5-year period that's coming upon this world. That hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have, that no one take your crown. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out from there no more. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim, my own new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. Almighty Yahweh wants us to be His friends. He wants us to overcome this world, to be a part of His kingdom as the 144,000. We see that there are going to be others that don't make that first cut. who are still going to be saved. It's going to be a great multitude. It says, out of every nation. So we have to do our part as friends of Yahweh to go forth and teach this truth to the nation so that they can repent and come to Yahweh. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that tries to serve Him and to be a friend of Yahweh. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Trent if he would come forth and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll, after I cut off the recording, entertain any questions.
Yes, pal. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come before you to hear your word, to worship you. Give us understanding that we will know how to live our lives that will be pleasing to you, and that we will be found worthy in the end to enter your kingdom. Strengthen us in our faith, and not let us put our faith in ourselves or any man. We know there is no hope in man. Our only hope is in you. Go with us the rest of this week. Help us keep our minds on your commandments and to love our neighbors, to do your will. Thank you. In the name of Yahshua, hallelujah.